The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
So it's time indeed for a heads up now on what to watch over the next week. And Gráinne Humphreys, director of the Dublin International Film Festival, and John Maguire, film critic and writer with the Business Post, join me now. And Gráinne, will we start with you, because you're just back from the Cannes Film Festival and the winners announced last night. I know you watch 51 films and I'd love to hear about all of them. But what about the winner of the Palme d'Or? Tell us about that.
It's a film about rich people on a boat getting violently ill through food poisoning. So it's a satire. And anyone who's watched Below Deck is probably quite familiar with the kind of, you know, above the stairs, below the stairs kind of dynamic, Downton Abbey on a boat. But I think for me, it wasn't my favorite film. I understand, you know, why the jury went for it. It definitely was the one that had that rare thing, people laughing. And it was one of many films that was over 2 hours. So as John will testify, too many filmmakers are making very long films at the minute.
What's it called?
It's called The Triangle of Sadness, which is the triangle between your eyebrows, the tips of your eyebrows, so just above your nose.
Okay.
And it's a satire about fashion and rich people. It felt like it was a tiny bit wittier, or thought it was a bit more witty than it actually was. But they gave awards to everyone, Brendan. I mean, there was 10 awards given out last night. And I felt nearly sorry for the ones who didn't. And there was a couple of really interesting trends. One is that Belgian cinema is obviously on the rise because they went home with three. And lots of stories about male friendship, either, young kind of 5, 6, 7 year old boys or older kind of middle aged men looking back on their lives. So kind of an interesting festival, not a classic festival, but really enjoyable to be back there.
And did you see Baz Luhrmann's Elvis?
I didn't see it, but that with Top Gun were the two big, big studio parties. You know, they brought the stars, the red carpets just exploded. They had fantastic fireworks and it was all very, very glam. And obviously the fact that they had Priscilla Presley there and the whole place suddenly went, you know, very, very... kind of OTT nearly Vegas was kind of exciting to see. But as I said, it's a fun festival to go to. And this year it was kind of back to the way that it was before, you know, lots of films, lots of stars on the red carpet.
And listen, our own Paul Mescal was kind of a big breakout star this year, wasn't he?
It was fantastic. I didn't really love the competition films, but around the actual festival, you'd loads of other strands, directors, Fortnight on Certain Regard. And Paul Mescal had two films, After Sun, where he plays a father on holiday with his young daughter, and God's Creatures, which is shot in Ireland with Emily Watson, a film that's really, really interesting film, I suppose, about families. But he was in both and loved by everyone. Critics, it was the one that everybody got to see. And actually, I got to see one of the later screenings and you couldn't get in for love or money. So it was really exciting, as I said, to see the kind of buzz of discovery was really, as I said, around the films that he was in. And as I said, building on The Normal People, space. So really exciting to see that, and actually lovely to have a bit of, you know, Irish talent to champion.
For sure. OK, Gráinne, we'll rock on because time is against us now. But John, Ricky Gervais' latest Netflix special is called Supernature, and it really has divided people. So
it has indeed. Well, this is the latest hour-long special from, like you say, comedian Ricky Gervais. It's screening on Netflix at the moment, and it opens with Gervais off stage saying, he announces himself onto the stage by saying, please welcome a man who really doesn't need to do this. And he gets a laugh for that. And Ricky Gervais is a very wealthy man. He's made films, TV. He's got a massive career.
As he keeps reminding us.
And he might need to do this, but we definitely don't need to watch it, especially as it's little more than a rehash of his usual routine. But he's amped up the nastiness. This is quite a nasty hour of television. It's not just the cruel jokes at the expense of the most vulnerable and marginalised people in society, transgender people, the disabled.
Well, he says it's all irony.
Irony. Yeah. Give me a break. There's jokes about the difference between cats and dogs. This is his new material, how rich and famous he is. There's jokes about Hitler, obviously enough, and how Chinese names sound a bit funny, don't they?
Yeah, you're watching it. Almost Jim Davison or something at times.
Bernard Manning.
But ironic.
Bernard Manning is who I was thinking of when I was watching.
I got a few laughs in the first 10 minutes, and then
I don't know. He hides all of this, like you say, all of this weak and tired material is hidden behind the curtain of irony. He's claiming as his defence that he's saying these awful things in order to get the audience to think about the opposite of the awful things as a way, and I quote, of satirising attitudes. And it's all part of the so-called invented culture war. And at one point he claims that the people that he's making the jokes about actually enjoy having jokes made about them. Like the Irish chuckled along heartily at all the Paddy jokes that the British comedians made entire careers out of in the 1970s. And for me, there's this, that's 1970s is what this really feels like.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
a sense that he's blatantly prodding buttons in order to generate any kind of reaction, like a toddler on the mat with a squeaky toy. And at the end of the day, it's not about political correctness, Brendan, very quickly, or being woke or any of that kind of stuff. Ricky Gervais is free to say anything he likes and to make any joke about any subject under the sun, as long as he is funny, and he's not funny.
Okay, we leave that there. Grania, you've seen Top Gun Maverick, right?
Yeah.
I have. Yeah. I have indeed, yes.
And if it is good, everybody seems very excited and thinks it's great.
They're absolutely right. It's fantastic. I went to see it on Friday night and the cinema in Cineworld and the IMAX was absolutely jammed. Apparently it's been jammed all week for the previews. Yeah. All the staff were talking about how great it was to be busy with queues. The audience, there was a bunch of, I think there were 11 sitting in front of me who obviously weren't even born. Do you know what I mean? Even a twinkle when the original came out. And then behind me, there was a whole group who had obviously seen it, as I did, in the Adelphi. And it was fantastic. It just rocks along. And I think it's the best thing he's done for years. I was worried that they were going to just knock off something that would just appeal to nostalgia fans. But it's a really great, great action film with big heart. And the fact that he put all of those young guys into real planes, it shows. It really does. John, did you like it?
I had a great
time.
Has
he saved the cinema? He's got people going back to the cinema.
Calm down.
Tom Cruise saved cinema.
Calm down. What you have here is a testament, a monument to the ageless superiority of Tom Cruise. That's what this film is. It is about Tom Cruise and how he's 59 years of age, 36 years after he made Top Gun. Yeah. He doesn't look any different. He doesn't act any different. He hasn't evolved. He hasn't changed. The character,
the world has come back around.
Maverick Mitchell. Exactly. Pete Maverick Mitchell hasn't changed. He's still living in an airport, in an airplane hangar. He's still tinkering planes. He's still a Navy captain. He hasn't, you know, become an admiral or anything like that. Everything is the same. And to me, I had a good time with the action sequences. I had a great time with all of the big stunts that they do here. Yeah. And they are massive stunts. But there is an imbalance between the film's desire to move forward and to introduce a new generation of hotshot test pilot Top Gun kids. And he's going to bring them on this dangerous mission to this unnamed hostile country to blow up a uranium enrichment plant. That's the plot, more or less. But everything that they do going forward, they're always looking back over their shoulder. There's a lot of fan service here. There's a lot of nostalgia. And for some people, that's going to be part of the package. But it doesn't sit with Cruise. Cruise is not about looking back. He's not about going over his old glories. He's about creating new glories. And that's where the film is a little bit out of whack, I think. But if you want a good time, it's Memorial Day weekend in the US at the moment. That's the most, one of the biggest weekends for cinemas in the US. I think it's tracking to do $170 million this weekend in the US alone. That is enormous.
Okay. USA. USA. That's basically where we're at, isn't it? Okay. John, tell me briefly, there's a fourth season of Stranger Things back on Netflix.
Yeah.
This was a phenomenon when it first came out. Is this still a phenomenon?
It went off the boil. Yeah, it did go off the boil. The second and third seasons weren't as well received as the first one. This is the fourth and last. So the Duffer Brothers are the creators of this thing, say it's the last. It's 9 episodes split into 2 volumes. One is available right now. The second is released from the 1st of July. Grania was saying about long movies. These are an hour-long episodes. The finale of the first tranche of these new season 4 is 2.5 hours long. So, you know, there's a lot going on here. But we're still back. The gang of kids are investigating all these supernatural happenings in their small 1980s town somewhere in the Midwest, even though they all look like they're in their 20s now. 6 months have passed since the so-called Battle of Starcourt, which is the big ending of the third season. And they've split up. Some of them have been sent to California. Some of them are still living at home. Hopper, who's played by David Harbour, who's the kind of police chief character, he's sent to Russia. We find him in Russia, in a gulag in Siberia, etc., etc. The series creator promised that this would be the last. And in fairness, this story, the kind of mix of John Carpenter and Stephen King that's going on here, that 80s nostalgia, has run out of steam. It really has. And it's dwindled to kind of to the point of self-parody. But I think this will be popular. I think it's bigger and it's louder and it's scarier. There is a lot of proper horror here.
Okay, but a good time to end it, I'm guessing. Okay. Grania, also on Netflix is Johnny Halliday, Beyond Rock, bringing us back to the to Vegas and Cannes and all of that kind of thing. He's an interesting figure, really, isn't he, that we don't really understand him, do we?
He's fantastic. You mentioned Elvis earlier. And I mean, he was the French Elvis, and he actually modelled a lot of his kind of moves and his stage shows around the kind of, I suppose, icon that he kind of represented to French fans. And it's a really great show. It's gossipy. He had a very kind of like troubled childhood that fed into insecurities. He was a master of reinvention. I mean, it's some of the incredible kind of like stage shows. I mean, near the end, it is literally gobsmacking. You know, he flies an entire audience to Vegas to see him. He fills out Stade de France, location of last night's football match, three nights in a row, and plays to 800,000 under the Eiffel Tower a couple of months before he died in 2017. So this is a show that just shows you way more than I you know, knew about the kind of the man. But it's a great, great kind of, as I said, kind of gossipy rock style biopic, which is really enjoyable. And as I said, just a discovery on Netflix.
Okay, listen, guys, I'm really sorry, but that's all we have time for on that today. Thank you very much, Grania Humphreys and John McGuire of the Business Post.